Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. We are the campus community radio station broadcasting on Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded territories of the Coast Salish peoples of the Squamish, Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Coquitlam. We stream online at cjsf.ca. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, YouTube, and Instagram by looking up CJSF Radio. And it has been a while. Hey folks, how are you? My name is Leslie.
And I'm Jade.
And we are doing our first quarantine...
First work from home episode.
Yeah, first TT from home. It has been a while since there was a new episode of Typically Tuesday. Last week, our nice friend Ms. Cracker joined us again, telling the exact same story in the exact same way as she told the story of Hanukkah before all those months ago.
During Hanukkah.
Yes, it was, it's so vivid, and also just a learning opportunity. It's, like, better than VeggieTales.
Yep.
It's CarbTales. Sure is. Sorry?
It is CarbTales.
It's CarbTales.
Ms. WeastTales. OilTales.
WeastTales. Oh my god. Doing this call interview, or not really an interview, I guess this is just like just a regular calling talking time with you, Jade, is a little bit weird, mostly I think because so the way that I'm recording right now is recording from Audacity and recording my voice also while speaking to you, so I'm hearing my own voice.
Oh, yeah.
And if I, like, listen too closely, I get a little bit... I end up getting really neurotic about it, and then I start to slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I do apologize, dear listeners, if I start sounding very, very lethargic. That is not only my energy level, but also just systems, technology, and... work. We have not had a TT for a while, due to, health things.
Yes.
Health concerns around the world. What have you been doing recently, to keep, I don't know, preoccupied, busy?
Well, I've been playing Animal Crossing for the past 3 days. And, I mean, I don't know if it's keeping me healthy, because I feel like I'm going a little crazy, but it's definitely keeping me preoccupied.
Mm-hmm. I feel that. I actually don't. I don't own Animal Crossing. I just feel that going a little bit loopy part. Animal Crossing, is it called New Horizons?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I always get it mixed up for some reason with New Leaf.
Yeah, it's weird that they have two titles with new in the name. I feel like they should have changed one of them. Well, I guess they probably should have changed this one because it came out. it's the most recent one.
Right. Was the previous one on the...
It was on the 3DS, I think. Well, actually, there was Happy Home Designer, which is just, I think, just like decorate homes. It's an interior design game. And then there's Pocket Camp, which is a free iOS app. Well, I guess not just iOS and Android, but a phone app. And then newly on the 3DS, and then I'm not quite sure what came before that. I think City Folk and Wild World.
I see. Okay. How many iterations of the Animal Crossing game have you played before?
Have I played? I started on the 3DS. and then I moved on to Pocket Camp for like a week until I got bored. That was 3 years ago. I have been playing it again while I was waiting for my Switch to ship, and now that I have the Switch, I'm playing New Horizons.
Are you? Well, okay, yeah, that sounds not similar to my experience at all. I don't know why my brain was going that way.
It do be like that.
I similarly played Pocket Camp when it first came out, but I think I must have played it for like 2 months or something. I think I played it for half of a semester, and I really vividly remember like the need to stop playing it because it would like take up literally like 3 hours of my day every single time I opened the app.
That was basically my experience while I was waiting for my Switch. I basically was playing Pocket Camp for like 12 hours a day.
It's a time maximum. I don't know, not even profit. Maybe it's like fear of missing out or something. Because for me, anyways, I spent like many hours playing the game every time I opened the app because I felt the need to go to every villager and like interact with them and stuff.
Me too.
Yeah. Well, Occupy Village. What? I don't know.
Occupy Kingdom.
Yeah. Very that. Continuing on with, like, discussions about... Oh my god, I suddenly forgot the name. Animal Crossing. Do you want to talk about, like, your playing experience so far?
Yeah, so I've had a pretty wild playing experience. I've had it for 3 days, and I've been playing it for, like, probably a good 6 hours per day or more.
Mm-hmm.
It's been good. So there's this thing in Animal Crossing where you get to cheat. I think it's probably, like, the only cheat you get to do, which is, it's called time traveling. So... if you don't know what Animal Crossing is, it's, I don't even know how to explain it, but it's like a simulation video game that lets you create and build a town and interact with villagers, and it runs in real life, in real time. So, when you're time traveling, you're basically, speeding up the process of things getting built and speeding up, getting new villagers and stuff like that. I don't time travel. I don't know why, what it is about Animal Crossing, but I hate the idea of cheating in this game. But the one thing I did reset my game every single time I got to an island. I got to my starter island and I didn't like it. So when you get to your island, you get a set of native fruit and you get 2 starter villagers that once, you save the game, it's completely locked in. So it took me 29 data resets to get to my preferred combination of starter fruits and starter villagers. And that took about 3 hours.
Oh my god, really?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And it's basically playing like the introduction loading screen over and over and over again.
Right.
I had to type in my name 29 times. My name, by the way, on Animal Crossing is Yord.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's spelled J-O-U-M-L-R-D. So I have to type that in 29 times.
Oh, wow. And so it was it like that typical kind of like, you're starting a new game, so we're going to load everything for you? That's why it took so long? Or was it like because there's like this whole introduction sequence or something?
Yeah, so there's a whole introduction sequence, which is basically you at the airport. You're about to embark on a new adventure, and Timmy and Tommy, who are these child raccoons, who are employees of Tom Nook, who's like the big raccoon guy, Yeah, I don't know how they got this job, but they're basically like they're flight attendants and also like counter attendants, and they just do everything. And they basically check you in. They're like, okay, what's your name? What's your birthday? How do you look? Pick out this one island layout you like. And you just do that. And I did that 29 times.
Wow. The effort and hard work is truly admirable.
Thank you.
Moving on to some tunes, I guess, or
Yeah.
whatnot. You picked out this playlist of music, I think, a couple of weeks ago. I think I noticed some changes.
I think I picked it out like maybe 3 weeks ago for whatever our next show was, but it just didn't happen. So this is, I call it my Loco Lo-Fi playlist. So this is a playlist made of, comprised of exclusively, I think, not exclusively Vancouver, but I think exclusively BC musicians who play indie music. So
Nice.
it's a bop, it's fun.
It's a bop. And it's gonna be good. Here is Sleepy Gonzales with Falling Off of Rainbow Road in Mario Kart, off of the album Melodrama. Enjoy!
that I am, you gave to me. Now let me go, I'm the only one in this room. Not pretending, not pretending. Oh, think of me as a rainforest fly. Wasn't meant to be a human after all. Let my soul swim. Watch me drive my car into the ocean. I wanna feel every emotion. I wanna see beauty in everything. I am not afraid to die. I know I'm beautiful. What a pleasure it's been. I'll meet you at the lavender field. Always coming back to me. Myself and I'm free. And all I let go of material things. I'm pure if I'm compassionate instead of being angry. I'm real, I'm real. Oh, touch me now, touch me now. Say it out loud, like I am not afraid to die. I know I'm beautiful. What a pleasure it's been, I'll meet you at the lavender field. I am not afraid to die, I know I'm beautiful. Oh. And I'll be now.
This is Bird Note. New Zealand is home to some very unusual birds, the kiwis, for example. But none is more peculiar than the kakapo. The kakapo is a kind of parrot, but one that doesn't fly. At 5 pounds, it's the world's heaviest parrot. But being heavy and flightless doesn't stop a kakapo from getting up a tree. It uses its strong claws and beak to grip the bark and pull itself up. Like many parrots, kakapos are long-lived, up to 90 years. Still, they're highly endangered. These odd parrots evolved in an island world that lacked terrestrial predators. But all that changed when humans and their animals arrived. Now, kakapos are mostly consigned to a conservation recovery program on small islands that are free of predators. Things are looking up, though. The kakapo population has grown 70% in the past 5 years. Even though there are only about 200 kakapos out there, that's still more than at any time in the past 70 years. The next challenge? Find more safe habitat for the growing population of these one-of-a-kind parrots. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
You just listened to Kombucha Baptism by Kai Bravewood off of Pink Glow. These titles are...
They're really something.
They're
very West Coast.
Yes. And they're, like, extremely descriptive.
Yes.
I don't know... Wow, what a weeb thing to ask. But, like, do you happen to, like reading Japanese comics?
I do, yes. Or okay. I did, okay. Once upon a time.
Okay, so there has been this trend in, I don't know, the past couple of years, to which, thankfully, at that point, I kind of dipped out. But this trend of people naming their comics... like, this very, very long, I don't know, sentence. Not even something that's just, like, I don't know, fluffy bird or whatever. It's like, this bird landed on my windowsill and started to sing to me, and then a magic demon came from the mirror of my bedroom and turned the bird into a hot girl who is now my wife.
Oh my god.
Yeah, that's what falling off of Rainbow Road in Mario Kart and Kombucha Baptism remind me of.
Falling off of Rainbow Road in Mario Kart, and then I got baptized in Kombucha. There we mm-hmm. go. Crossover.
Mm-hmm. Maybe when you fell off of Rainbow Road in Mario Kart, you know how the screen kind of turns black? Maybe what we don't see is that you actually fall into a kombucha bath, but it's holy?
Yeah, you just, like, fall right onto a SCOBY, and that's what cushions your fall.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, wow. Just like this... Is it gelatinous? Wow.
It is. It's like jelly.
Ah, okay. Yeah, it's just like
kind of. Well, it's thing. Actually kind of like, kind of like konnyaku.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of like.
So like a firmer jelly.
Yeah. It's almost got like a. Sounds weird. Like almost like a crunch to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Falling.
I don't advise biting the SCOBY. It's probably pretty gross.
You were making kombucha at one point, right?
I was making kombucha. I should probably start making it again since I have basically nothing to do. But yeah. Have you been doing any home projects while under quarantine?
I have been doing school projects. Hey. They're awful. Yeah, mostly just school things. I made potato wedges the other day. I don't really know if that counts as like a home project. But no, I haven't been doing anything other than schoolwork, which is why Animal Crossing is much more interesting to me. Yes. But no, are you going back to making kombucha? Is that what it
I
is?
I might. Mm-hmm. I've been fermenting things. I've started making sourdough again.
Uh-huh.
And just like, had like a neurotic baking session where I made like 5 things of bread. It took me 10 hours. It was good.
Oh my, you're like, if Claire Saffitz from Bon Appetit and Brad, like, cloned certain genes together and then yeah. made, like, a human.
Or if they had a baby, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah, but, like, I've already seen, like, people start shipping Brad and Claire. I didn't want it to, like, get to that stage
yeah.
description, you know?
Yeah, I get it. They yeah. are both. I mean, Claire is engaged and Brad is married, so it's probably pretty weird to ship them together.
Yeah, very, very that. In terms of the, oh my god, what was I going to say? So, you've been fermenting things in fermenting things for fun.
Yes.
Nice fun fermentation. Are you able to like cook on Animal Crossing?
I don't think you can. You can craft things, I don't know if you eat. I don't think you eat on Animal Crossing. You don't need to eat.
Okay. I was just wondering, like, what if there was like another one of those like messed up kind of Pokemon things happening?
Oh,
You know how like
yeah.
they catch Farfetch'd and then they eat them?
Yeah.
And the Pokemon also eat Farfetch'd. Like, what if you
Yeah,
could
you
eat
know,
Tom Nook?
I don't think you can eat anything. You basically, if you want to get extra energy, you can eat fruit, and that's the only thing that's edible. And I do know that in not Pocket Gap, in New Leaf, there's a cafe that opens. I'm not sure if it's gonna be the same here, but I think it's just like coffee and fruit, and that's all you can eat.
The health
Because I mean,
intense.
it is kind of interesting, right? Because in Animal Crossing, your neighbors are animals, but you also like hunt insects. So there's obviously like a hierarchy of animals, again, where there's humans, and you're also like the only human in town, and that's never explained why you're the only human.
Racism. Maybe this is like speciesism.
Speciesism.
Yeah.
Speciesism.
Why do you think? Oh, okay. Hold on. You're tuned into Typically Tuesday on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie.
And I'm Jade.
We've been talking extensively about Animal Crossing because Jade just received their copy of Animal Crossing a couple of days ago. I have not played like any iterations of Animal Crossing except Pocket Camp, which was the sort of mobile app version of like a real systems game. And then when I was very young, I observed hours of people playing the game on the GameCube. But we've been talking extensively about Animal Crossing New Horizons. And one of the
Yes.
things that like really stood out to me in the discourse, because I can only live vicariously through people playing Animal Crossing at this point, is the name Animal Crossing. Is that like a pun or like a play on words or something? Because I know the Japanese name of the franchise is like Dobutsu Mori, which means,
Like something forest,
yeah, it
right?
means animal forest.
Yeah.
Is Animal Crossing
Yeah,
supposed to
I'm
be
not
like,
sure. I mean, crossing as in you're meeting animals, I guess, like you're crossing paths.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think you can crossbreed flowers. You can't romance the animals.
Have you tried?
No, you can't romance them. Actually, you know what? Do you think the animals date?
The animals date each other?
Yeah.
Huh, I wonder.
I actually no. I think Perry and Penny or Penelope, they're both pelicans, and they had a past. They had a sordid past. And I think Sable, one of the Able sisters, dated Tom Nook for a while, but I'm not completely sure. There's a whole lore. There's a If you Google Able sisters Animal Crossing backstory, it's wild. It's really sad.
It's really sad.
Yeah, it's really sad. So basically, like there were three sisters, and one of them like left the family, and there was like a whole drama about something. And also Tom Nook's backstory is really sad. He was like, when he was still a young raccoon, going out and about, he was cheated by a friend and lost all his money, and bad things happened, and now he's a hardened man.
Oh my God. Wow. Okay. Oh, yes. Able sis okay. The store. Oh my God. Yeah. According to Animal Crossing Wiki, about the Able sisters, they run a clothing store and tailor shop. And it says here, the store was owned and run by their parents until a fatal sewing accident that led to the business being handed over to Sable, who also had to take care of her younger sister, Mabel. But there's no talk about Label, who is the other sister. Oh my.
She Label ended up changing her name to LaBelle and moved to the big city and opened her own shop. And I think in one of the iterations, I can't remember if it was New Leaf. I think it was probably before that. It was like City Folk or something. It was like a whole like dramatic backstory, like subplot of them trying to reconcile with her.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Huh,
it
okay.
Sure is.
Do you happen to know, this is kind of an odd question, do you happen to know if any Animal Crossing characters are queer?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think, like, in the previous franchises or in the previous games, I don't think anyone is, like, openly queer, but I heard that CJ is, but I'm not totally sure.
Interesting.
I actually saw, I was on the Animal Crossing subreddit, and someone made, like, a post, like, a meme post being like, CJ is gay, and there's nothing you can do about it, and there were people arguing in the comments, so I don't want to get into that. But he does have a partner, and we think that it's, like, a fox who's an artist. So, I don't know about that.
The fandom is trying to make things come to life. Okay, interesting. Alright. What a time. Animal Crossing and its entire world seems...
The game logic is wild.
It's very elaborate. Including tragedy.
Okay, I'm gonna say my piece about Tom Nook, because I feel like I have to, like, clear his name.
Oh, yes, please do, please do.
Okay, so, like, Tom Nook, who is, not the proprietor, but he's the guy where he, that sells you stuff, that, hands out loans for, your home. He's been vilified by the fandom a lot as, like, a dirty capitalist landlord, but I'm just gonna, like, defend him a little. He's not technically a landlord because he doesn't own any land. He doesn't own the property, and all he does is sell you supplies, and he sells you supplies to, like, set up your tent, and then, like, contracts people to build your house for you, and then charge the fee, which is, you know, what a contractor does. But the thing is that after he builds your house, you take out a loan, but you don't have to pay him back, and there's no interest. So basically, he's providing free public housing for everybody, and in Animal Crossing, all the locales, I don't think there's private property. I think it's all public property. It's the commons, where you can, like, chop and fish and chop down wood, and no one's there to fine you. So, I mean, he's basically Bernie Sanders in the Animal Crossing universe. Free public housing, not technically debt forgiveness, but essentially debt forgiveness, because you don't have to pay the debt. So yeah, all he needs to do is offer Medicare for all. But you can craft your medicine for very cheap, so.
I see. So instead of Bernie Bros, do you think it's like Nook Nerds or something?
Yes. That would be great. If only Tom Nook could run for president.
Oh my god, yes.
What is even like the political economic structure in Animal Crossing? Because all you do is you pull weeds out of the earth and you sell them to Timmy and Tommy, the like child laborers of Tom Nook, and they give you like $1,000 after pulling weeds. It's really wild. Like, what kind of system is this? How are they surviving? There must be like some sort of like universal healthcare and universal basic income, because you can just like get by without doing anything at all.
Mm-hmm. It seems like at least in, actually, I know nothing about economics, but I was going to say maybe it's like a bartering system sometimes. I don't know,
it's
or like
not really
there's a little
like a
bit
bartering.
Of like, sorry?
It is a moneyed system, so it's not just bartering.
Oh, okay.
But the way that you get a lot of the supplies is through crafting your DIY kits. So you have to craft it yourself. And you get the supplies for crafting. You get the resources through just picking up stuff off the island. So I don't know what kind of system this is. It is also pretty advanced because you, in at least in New Horizons, you get an ATM. And Tom Nook has his own chain of phones.
Phones? Like a Nook mobile?
Like smart, it's called the Nook phone, I think, actually.
Oh my
They're
God.
Smartphones. You get like 9 apps. It's a lot.
Animal Crossing is just so great, in my opinion. And I think I heard from one of my friends who recently got into the entire franchise that the game kind of like like what you said before, so it like progresses in real time, so there's like seasonal changes and things like that, like in the autumn or something you might like get harvest.
Yes.
What a time
so you can
to
get
be
like
alive.
Different so even it's even cooler in New Horizons is that you get to choose your hemisphere, and the seasons will match with whatever hemisphere you choose.
Oh, wow.
So right now, if you're playing the southern hemisphere, I think it's not summer, it's fall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Technology has come such a way, and so has storytelling and story writing. Shout out to
yes.
Nintendo. For being a multinational corporation pig, but for also giving us one of the greatest things to just keep ourselves entertained.
Yes.
Let's move on with some more music. This next track is called Terry by Dante's Paradise.
Thank you.
This is Bird Note. As twilight deepens along a dry West Texas stream bed, a tiny owl peers out from a hole in a sycamore tree. It's an elf owl, the smallest species of owl in the world. Standing less than 6 inches tall, feathered in gray with big yellow eyes, the elf owl weighs less than an ounce and a half, a bit less than a golf ball. And it's a determined predator. Flying out from its tree cavity at dusk, the elf owl hunts beetles, crickets, and spiders, plus the odd lizard or mouse. Larger prey, such as scorpions, with the stingers carefully removed, may end up cached in the nest for later dining. Elf owls live in woodlands and desert cactus habitats in southwest Texas and southern Arizona. In desert habitats, they often nest in woodpecker holes in tall saguaro cactus. They depart the U.S. by October for warmer latitudes of Mexico, where insects are more available in winter. But spring comes early to the American Southwest, and the minuscule owls return by late February or March, ready to begin their breeding season. Get a good look at this tiny owl on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein.
And we're back on CJSF 90.1 FM. You just heard Birthday Party by Club Sofa off of the album Birthday Party. My name is Leslie.
I'm Jade.
We are talking extensively about Animal Crossing during the age of physical distancing. Something that I think is a little bit off topic, though, about from our Animal Crossing analysis, I don't that kind of thing or whatever, is that the idea that just because you're at home and it is difficult to go outside at the moment for many of us does not mean that this is a time of social distancing necessarily. It's a time of physical distancing and maintaining physical boundaries and distance, but more than ever right now we need people and support systems in our lives to, you know, get through the day and to get through this, you know, the thing that I write in all of my emails now is like, strange times, in these strange times. Every single email just starts with, I hope you're okay in these wackadoo moments of life and whatnot.
I got an amazing email from my prof. I'm gonna see if I can find it, and we should talk about something else because I'm gonna look for it.
Okay.
But he signed off his email in like the most incredible way.
All right. In that case, I will babble about something. So we've been talking a lot about Animal Crossing, and to be honest, I wasn't really going to get involved in the huge hype of, Animal Crossing New Horizons, which is the newest game out on Nintendo Switch. Of the Animal Crossing franchise, but one of the reasons why, like, really, I really decided to be like, oh wow, this is awesome, is because I saw fan art of this new character named Daisy May, and I...
Yes.
So, Daisy May
of the Sow Jones Stock Exchange.
That's right. I don't know much about her other than she seems to be this, like, young like swine animal who sells turnips from a turnip farm and who has like a perpetual snot drip coming out of her nose.
So there's some backstory to Daisy May. In the previous iterations of Animal Crossing, there was a different turnip seller named Joan, who is a female pig, therefore the Sow Jones stock market. And Daisy May is her grandchild. I think Joan at this point has retired. People are saying, oh, she's dead. No, I think she's retired.
I see. Yes. That makes a lot of sense. Joan is, upon learning about this, about Daisy May's background, I looked up Joan and, she's great. I think she's awesome. And I also learned from another friend of mine that there were other characters who seem to have like new, like some kind of like younger relative or something work in their previous positions. I don't remember what this other one that my friend talked about was. I think it was like some kind of reptile judicial authority or something like that. Yeah,
oh my god, I have not encountered any of that yet. I'm on my third day.
Oh, okay, well, to be continued, to be discussed,
to be continued.
Perhaps next week. From now
next
on,
next week.
Yes, from now on, typically Tuesdays is just gonna have a segment from Jade about an update on their gameplay for Animal Crossing. It's gonna be good.
It will be good.
Animal Crossing is just so interesting, and like, I think one of the things that makes it so great is just like, it's just so cute. It's so cute looking because it's just these like sort of anthropomorphized, like cartoon animals. Like, are there fish? No.
There are fish. Oh no, there aren't any fish villagers.
Any fish villagers, but I think there's like a snake villager or something.
Yeah,
And
there's a few reptiles, and there's a coconut rabbit named Coco. She's very scary. Her head is a coconut.
A coconut rabbit? Is that like a real type of rabbit?
No, I don't know. So a lot of the Animal Crossing villagers are like gimmicky villagers. So you have like mummies and like there's one that's like a pharaoh where someone like an ancient Egyptian cat and stuff like that. So that's, I think, one of them. Wow. I encountered her on an island I was exploring and I really freaked out because she's got like the features of a rabbit, but her head is a coconut shell and there's like three holes. There's like two holes for eyes and one for a mouth.
Yes, and it looks like
looks
they're
more
really
like a bowling
big.
Ball or something.
Oh my
yeah.
god, yeah. On the Nookopedia website, which is, I suppose, like an Animal Crossing wiki, under Coco the Coconut Rabbit, her species is listed rabbit, her gender is listed female, her personality is listed normal. So she's perhaps a little bit basic. We'll see. Did you happen to find that riveting email that you were looking for?
I did find the email. I'm gonna read it. It wasn't him signing off. It was a greeting. Hello everyone. Hope this finds you well, and that you are able to weather this challenging period with as little grief as possible. I just love that so much.
I feel that.
With as little grief as possible.
It is definitely a very odd time for us all to be in right now. And I hope folks are able to at least find some time to connect with people who they care about, who can support them, to get up off of their feet, you know, stretch a little bit. Play some Animal Crossing.
Do some yoga, bake some bread.
Yeah. Ferment some items. Yeah, it is. Times are a little bit odd, but us folks here on Typically Tuesdays have got your back with updates from Jade's gameplay of Animal Crossing. Or Yord's gameplay of Animal Crossing.
Yord, yes.
If that's more appropriate.
It is more appropriate, thank you.
You are tuned into Typically Tuesday on CJSF 90.1 FM. I believe we are reaching the top of the hour of this week's program. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you are able to take care of yourselves and to stay safe. Here's one last song by, I think they're from Victoria, by a band called Bridal Party. This is a track off of their album Too Much called Tylenol.
feels like a treat.